Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I'd like to welcome you to Westside on this Memorial Day. We tend to, every year, we do a big 4th of July service. And it seems, unfortunately, at times that Memorial Day just slips by us as another holiday. When really we should celebrate and remember as much today as we do on the 4th. The phrase, all gave some gave all, was meant for today. And we know that there's many folks that gave their lives to allow us the freedom to be able to be sitting here today. So if you'll bear with us for a few minutes while we do a few poems, a few songs, and just do some remembering today for those.
A day to remember. Today is a day we stop and remember the men who fought with bravery, those who shed their blood and gave their lives so that our country could have liberty. Today is the day we stop and remember the colors that we love, the red, the white, and the blue that fit our nation like a glove. White for purity of purpose, red for valor during battle, and blue for justice against those who threatened us. Today is the day we stop and remember that these men have not died in vain. After every battle has been won, our country's standards reign. Wave a flag, place a flower on a grave, say a prayer of thanks on this Memorial Day, for the price of freedom was freely paid.
Many of you received a calling post message, and it asked you to bring a picture or a memento of a loved one that served and has passed away. At this time, during our 4th of July celebration, we usually call down to the front those that have served, and we recognize them that way. If you have brought a picture, if you've brought a memento of any type, we'd love for you to come down today and stand across the front here and let us honor and remember your loved one that's passed away. If you did, would you come now, please? If you don't mind, would you tell us who you're representing, please?
Leola Joyce Walker.
Mr. Bob Jones.
Bob Jones, I'm
S. L. Hurston. S. L. Hurston.
Mr. Martin.
Cecil Smith.
Thomas Gant.
Strickland. Donald Phillips.
Ben Strickland.
My grandfather, Robbie Midget.
Arthur Humphreys.
My husband, Danny Hornsby.
My great uncle, Jack Holt.
My father-in-law, Kevin Moore.
In memory applause doesn't really seem appropriate. So I'm going to ask Anthony Boswell if he would read a written prayer for us.
A Memorial Day prayer for our soldiers. My God, who gave His only Son to shed His blood for all mankind, give strength to all the loving ones who give their sons to keep our land free. Your faithful men and women venture near and far. We call upon Your mercy no matter where they are. Keep them safe, one and all, on land, in air, on sea. And while we know some will not return, give us strength to accept their destiny. And to the men that have fallen, give a special place of grace in eternity. And help me, Lord, to never forget the price they paid for our great country.
We thank You for Your service and Your sacrifice.
He was a troubled kid in and out of jail. When his daddy said, "This is the last time I'll pay bail." So he enlisted in the army and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the army must have whipped you into shape, but he said, "That's not the reason I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave His life for me when I could sit and save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me." Now they fold the flag and attached a silver star as the grieving mother leans against his arm. Then he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. No one who ever knew him was surprised he died that way. He always lived for Jesus. And oh, he used to always say, "Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave His life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I live. Way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me." Now I don't want to waste a moment of the time that I have left. With every breath I'm given, God help me not forget. God help me not forget. Somebody died for me. Before I even asked for help, He gave His life for me. When I couldn't save myself, I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me.
God bless America. I tell you what, we are truly blessed to live in the greatest country that's ever been. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 28. We'll read our text in a little bit. That's right. If you want to go to junior church and you're under 10 years old, take off. And no, I'm not going to junior church. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord today. I know that this is a day when many have chosen to travel, and that's okay. But I can't think of a place I'd rather be than the house of God this morning. Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in service or have served for the United States of America. Waterloo, New York was officially declared the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson in May of 1966. Memorial Day was born out of the Civil War and a desire to honor our dead. It was officially proclaimed on May the 5th, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Army of the Republic. The 30th of May, 1868, was designated for the purpose of strewing flowers and decorating the graves of our comrades that died in defense of our country. And by the way, whose bodies now are planted in every city and every town and township and countryside across our country. The date of Decoration Day, as the general called it, was chosen because it wasn't an anniversary of any particular battle. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. There were 5,000 participants that decorated 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers, their graves, 20,000 graves of the Union and Confederate soldiers. The first day or state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. It's now observed nationally on the last Monday in May with a congressional passage of the National Holiday Act of 1971. Moana Michaels wrote this short poem talking about the veterans who have died. We cherish too the poppy red that glows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies. Memorial Day, ladies and gentlemen, is not about picnics and ball games and mattress sales. Neither is it an unqualified endorsement of American society as we know it. This solemn day is the appointed time we remember with compassion and gratitude these brave soldiers, sailors, flyers, and Marines. They died protecting our country. They died defending a way of life they felt was worth dying for. They believed their families were worth dying for. They believed their children were worth dying for. They believed that the freedom that we have was worth dying for. They believed that the morality that we once stood for was worth dying for. The values that we grew up with as a nation that was centered on Christ were dying for. They believed that American, good old American know-how and responsibility was worth dying for. We should each take a moment and look into our souls, ladies and gentlemen, to see what we are doing with the blood-stained legacy that has been left behind. Did those valiant Marines in Iwo Jima make the sacrifice so the sacramental union could be redefined as same-sex marriage? Did our Revolutionary War heroes go into battle for the right of mothers to kill their unborn children? Did men die in the trenches at Argonne so that the man-boy love organization could be protected? Today, America is finding new ways to find pleasure or to pleasure itself. New ways to avoid responsibility. New ways to destroy the family. New ways to isolate the family. New ways to marginalize those who call for morality and personal responsibility. On this solemn holiday, we must stop and consider the great sacrifices that others have made so we may have the freedom and prosperity we enjoy. Let us consider what those valiant warriors were fighting for. Let us honor each and every one of them with prayer and a pledge to restore this nation to the honor, the morality, the values, and love of God which these individuals have given their lives. Their true memorial is the nation and culture we create from their sacrifice. Are we really doing them the recognition they deserve? What a question. Then we look a little further into their sacrifices. We see that in the Revolutionary War, the war that began the birth of this wonderful nation, or I should say defended the birth of this wonderful nation, we lost 25,000 men in battle. During the Civil War, it was the bloodiest of all wars for Americans. We lost 620,000 lives during the Civil War. And by the way, there were over 400,000 severely wounded. During the War of 1812, we lost 20,000 men. During the Mexican War, we lost 13,283. That's a lot of folks. During World War I, we lost 116,516. During World War II, we lost 405,399 service men and ladies to that war. During Vietnam, we lost 58,209 lives in that war. In the Korean War, we lost 36,516. During the Gulf War, we lost 258 lives. And so far, with the Iraq and Afghanistan war, we've lost almost 7,000 men and women. These have given the and provided the ultimate sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. Likewise, I want to say, Christians, that our comrades, that our fellow soldiers, have given it all for the cause of freedom, which only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone by the name of Little Hans in 1528 was killed for preaching the gospel of Christ. He refused to stop teaching. Are you ready for this? Baptism by immersion. Preaching against infant baptism. Preaching that Jesus was the only way. They set him down, laid his head on a chopping block, and cut his head off. There's another man in that same year. And he died, and he died with others as well. 10 other individuals died with him. They were burned together because they believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's another man, Hans Fierer, a minister of the word, and five of his brethren or fellow believers were condemned and burned for their faith in the divine and for the divine truth. Their three sisters, wives of three of these, were drowned. And before they were drowned, they boldly, cheerfully, and gladly surrendered their lives to die for Christ. On the same day that Queen Mary, known as Bloody Queen Mary, ordered John Hooper to be martyred, Dr. Roland Taylor was in prison not far from London. At 2 a.m. in the morning, Pastor Taylor was taken from his cell with a hood placed over his head to be killed. Many were in the streets waiting to follow their pastor to his place of death. His wife called out to him and said, "Is that you, Roland?" With the hood over his head, he said, "Yeah, it's me." She ran and hugged him and embraced him. And there felt his embrace to her for the last time. A little further down the road, there was a man on his knees there with his four children and his wife, with his hands folded, giving thanks to their pastor for his help, spiritual and financial, in times past. As Pastor Taylor passed the home of an old blind couple, he threw a glove filled with a few coins through their window. Shortly after the hood was removed from his head, he was pale and weak from being held in prison and tortured for over a year. He opened his mouth to speak to the crowd, but a soldier shoved a shaft into his mouth. They piled wood around him, then a man struck Pastor Taylor across his face with a stick. He looked at the man and he said, "Old friend, that was not necessary." They piled wood around him, and then a man struck Pastor across the face with a stick. He was then placed in a barrel smeared with pitch. The fire was set. The flames began to whirl above his head. Then a soldier bashed his skull. Men that were given the ultimate, that gave the ultimate sacrifice. They were given the ultimate responsibility and carried it out and carried it out well. I was thinking about all these men and ladies that were represented here today, that some whom had died in battle, some that served and died maybe of natural causes. But in thinking about today, I could not help but turn to Matthew chapter 28. And there has been given to us a challenge. I hold in my hand a very special document to me. This document is a document given to my great uncle. My uncle fought in the Philippine theater during World War II. He was called in by his commander, and he said, "I need you to get 6 volunteers or 7 volunteers. I'm going to send you on a very dangerous mission. And it's so dangerous it has to be all volunteers." So Uncle Lester, I called him, they didn't call him Uncle Lester, went out and found his volunteers, and he came into the tent where the commander was. And the commander then told him what their mission would be. And the mission was to go in behind enemy lines without firing a shot and do reconnaissance. But where they were going was so dangerous that they did not think that those men would ever come back. The reason I know that is because when my uncle and the men he chose went to leave the tent, the general shook their hands. They did not salute and dismiss. My uncle returned to the tent and asked the general, "Why did you do that? Why did you not salute? Why did you shake the hands of these men?" And then Sergeant Holt was told, "Because I do not believe that any of you were ever." Ladies and gentlemen, they went behind enemy lines, and without firing a shot, without being discovered, they took and received, were able to gather all the information that they were asked to gather and more. Plus, my uncle grabbed a Japanese soldier and brought back a prisoner. And they were able to extract information from him. And they said that the information they were able to extract saved a lot of lives. It impressed the uppers so much, he received a battlefield commission and went from being a sergeant to a second lieutenant immediately. And this is the battlefield commission from William C. Chase, Brigadier General, U.S. Army Commander. A battlefield commission. I want to say to you that we also, I believe, have somewhat of a battlefield commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then here it is, folks. Here is our commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is our challenge. This is our commission. We have been commissioned to tell people about Jesus. I think it's good. I like it. While watching a documentary on D-Day, the invasion of Normandy, they asked various men they were interviewing, men that were there on that day, they said, were you scared? And those that were honest said, yes, we were scared. One man said, one of the former soldiers said, if a man tells you he was not scared, he's a liar. Battle is not easy. There are those of you in this room that fought in wars, maybe Korea, I know for a fact, some in Vietnam, not just in distance, but also hand-to-hand combat. Brother Lomax told me one time, he said, you've never seen a man fight until you've seen a man fight for his life. Brother, I guarantee you were scared. I want to tell you, Christians, it's okay if we're a little scared now and then. Can I share something with you that happened to me recently? This is not to pin a rose on my nose. It's not to bring, but I just want you to understand that we all can get a little scared now and then. This is not to brag. I am not. It's to make a point. the Lord has allowed me in my lifetime to probably win more people to the Lord than the average Christian does. Probably. And you would think that it would be second nature. You could just kind of lay it out there. But it's not that way to me. And some of you want so badly to tell people about Jesus, but you're just too scared to do it. Day before yesterday, Miss Vicky texted me and said, my niece is in the hospital. It's life-threatening. Don't know if she'll make it. Can you go by and see her? She's not saved. And so I did. And I'm telling you this for a reason. It's not to draw attention to me. I did. But I knew she was lost. And so all the way up to the hospital room, I'm saying, Lord, how am I going to do this? My goodness, precious love it. And I'm thinking about all these different scenarios of how I'm going to get the gospel to this lady that in years past has not been interested in the Lord at all. And can I say, I was a little scared. You say, scared? Yes. Went in, sat down, we talked, chit-chat. You know how it is, Brother Joe. Trying to get comfortable, trying to find where God might open that door. And I tell you, I became so scared of doing something wrong, saying the wrong thing, making the move at the wrong time. I was scared. I was so concerned about this thing. I thought, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to text Brother Joe Honeycutt. That's what I'm going to blow this. I'm going to blow this thing, and this woman's going to go to hell. And I mean, man, I tell you, I was scared that I was going to blow it. But you know what happened? The Lord took control. I said, God, you better take control of this thing or I'm calling Brother Joe. Hey, I'm serious. She started saying, she told me, she said, I went to church here and years ago, and one time I went over to West Side, and when I was a little girl, I went down young in it. And I just finally said, well, that's wonderful. But have you ever been saved? Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? And she said the most surprising thing to me. She said, no, but I sure do need to. And surely I didn't hear that right. I said, well, if you think you need to, what are you waiting on? She said, well, really, I just think I need to be saved. Well, I still wasn't sure I had heard correctly. And I said, well, then what are you waiting on? Three times I said, what are you waiting on? She said, I need to be saved right now, don't I? I said, yes, you do. I told you that not because I wanted you to know that the Lord allowed me to lead somebody to the Lord, but I want you to know that it might be a little scary going into battle. But it's okay. Because we're not fighting the battle, he is. That lady would still be on her way to hell if it had been under Alton Midget's strength that day, because like I said, I was practically texting Brother Joe with my thumb already. It's okay if we're a little scared, Christians. It's okay. And then there's something else that crossed my mind. Is the unknowns. How many of you have been to the cemetery in Arlington of the unknown soldier? Is that not the most impressive thing? I was there years ago. I hadn't been there in quite a while. Can I tell you how that came about? In World War I, they had in a chapel in a little town in France four caskets, each with an unknown soldier, someone they could not identify. They called six men that had left France back to France to come and stand outside of this chapel. There, a commander had a rose. And he walked up and down and then had to choose one of those six men to give the rose to. And out of the one he gave the rose to, he went in to the chapel. And there were four caskets. And it was up to him to lay the rose on which casket would go to Arlington to be entombed in the tomb of the unknown soldier. That's quite a task to come to a conclusion, is it not? It says this. The inscription reads, "Here rest in honored glory an American soldier known only to God." Christian soldier, this world might not know who you are. This world might not understand your contributions that maybe God has allowed you to make during your lifetime. But it's all right. You see, God, our great general, knows your name. He knows your frame. He knows your contributions. He knows everything you've done good for the temporary and for the eternal. God knows who you are. I'm so glad he not only knows us, but every morning when you take a shower, and I hope you take a shower, and you have the hair go down the drain. And I know we've got something going on our drain because it clogs every now and then. So I know Lisa and the girls do lose some hair. But he knows every one of them. That's the nastiest thing to clean up, is it not? But he knew how many was sitting in that drain before they ever got there. If you own a sparrow, and one dies, he knows all about it. He hasn't forgotten about you. We may have to honor those that we don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, one day God will honor those he knows. And you and I are looking at him. That is each other. Well, I wanted to talk to you for a moment about being scared, and a little moment about maybe being unknown. Maybe sometimes we feel faceless. Even in church, we don't think people recognize or realize. But I want to say to you Christians, God knows. God knows. I want to talk to you lastly about our memorial. As mentioned earlier, our memorial to these passed away veterans is to live a life which includes prayer and honor, morality, values, and the love of God for which they gave their lives. That's our memorial to them. But Christians, we need to understand something. Our memorial to the cross is to live Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Your battlefield commission right there, Christian. You hear it? You got my permission, the Lord saying. So much so, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to be in the foxholes. I'm telling you, I'm going to be there with you. When things get tough, I'm going to be right there with you. I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, our memorial to the cross should be that we live our lives, that we walk and we talk and we act like Christians, where people look at us and know there's something different about that man, or there's something different about that woman, or there's something different about that teenage girl or boy. There's something different about them. Maybe they can't put their finger on it, but there is a memorial which we can show or live out that God understands and appreciates. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. To live out this memorial, this appreciation, the recognition of the cross. Our men and women have splattered their blood across the globe that you and I can know freedom and liberty. Likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled his blood up and down the streets of Jerusalem for me and for you, and up Calvary's hill and down Calvary's tree, that we can know true liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. That's it. Why would we not memorialize this? Why would we not show appreciation? Why would we not show respect for that one that would do so much for so many? I guess we could say that in the grand scheme of things, in the total population of the earth, that few have died compared to the total population of the earth. But I want to say to you, can you imagine? Jesus Christ was the only one that could die. The only one that was available. The only one that was credible. The only one that could possibly pull the task off was Jesus Christ our Lord. And he came and he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. Only one. I believe they said that Russia in World War II, that they had, I believe it was 26 million people die defending their country. It's a lot of people. But when it came to defending you and me, when it came to standing between us and eternity in hell, there was only one. One took a deep breath. He didn't want to come here and die. He didn't want to be crucified. He did it because he loves us. This was not a social move for him. It was an act of love for you and for me. He had everything. Why in the world would you leave a place of perfection and come and be brutalized by a lost and dying world that hates your guts? Why would you die for people that don't like you or curse you? I wouldn't do it, but he did it because he loved us. For yet while we were yet sinners. Amen. Our God left heaven so we would not have to go to hell. You know, that's pretty impressive. But the end of the story is really yet to come. For the Lord, he rose from the dead to prove just how and who he is. But yet, the final chapter has not been written as far as eternity is concerned. One day, we are going to stand before the Lord. And after the embarrassing stuff is over with, after the bema seat of Christ, then we can worship forever and forever and forever. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready, aren't you? Today, I just want to challenge you. Two things. Why don't we become an effective soldier for Jesus Christ? A veteran of sorts. And why don't we live our lives as Americans like we appreciate those that have died for us? And Christians, why don't we live like Christians? Because we have a history of people, individuals that have gone before us that have spilt their blood for Jesus Christ. And dig a little bit further, go back to Calvary's. And there that one committed it all for all. So why can't we live as a memorial to our Lord and Savior? Ladies and gentlemen, I know that people are out traveling, and that's okay, but I have enjoyed being in the house of the Lord this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you willing, if I may say, make your life a memorial to the Lord? Prove that we appreciate Him. Prove that we love Him. Prove by our memorial to Him, by working for Him, doing, telling, if need so, preaching. Let our lives be memorial to our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, as we go into the invitation, it's all yours. Each and every person in this room knows whether or not there's areas in our lives that we could practice having a better memorial for you. Lord, you do with these children of God what you want. You deal with their hearts the way you choose to deal with them. But help us all, God. Let our lives be a true memorial of what you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Say, preacher, I just want my life to be memorial to the Lord, and I want to commit to Him that fact today. The altar's open.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was